Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Ryan Bonaparte.
And we're here with you Sunday night. Our clocks have been jumped back an hour. We're ready to go for Monday when Purdue basketball officially starts. Ryan, are you excited?
Oh, yes. I mean, I got that extra hour of sleep. I am rested and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And right after work tomorrow, I can watch it.
I was going to ask if you were going to go to the game or if this was just because of the time of the game. It's probably going to be tough for you to get there, right?
Yes, and I lose an hour as well.
Right. So, yeah, it would be real tough for you to get there. Because is tip-off at 5:30 Eastern?
That sounds right.
I thought that was very weird. But, you know, we'll take it. So, if you've been paying attention to social media, you know Purdue plays Samford tomorrow, or I guess today. This is being released on Monday, in the first game of their season. Samford, of course, continuing to have a lot of fun on social media. And I got to ask, is this the best use of social media by an underdog since UMBC beat Virginia?
Probably. Until you said underdog, I was going to say my favorite was the elf thing.
Oh, well, yeah. On. Yeah, those were good, too. Those were good, too.
Yeah, I mean, anything to make it lighthearted and fun.
Yeah.
Because let's be real here, Samford's not going to have a shot at this game, so you're going to have to make it memorable somehow.
Right. And an interview that Casey and I did with Matt Painter should be coming out tomorrow, and I asked him if he'd seen these Samford videos. He did not take the bait. He was like, yeah, I've seen them. And that was just all he would say. Which was unfortunate. I was hoping to get him to break a little bit and say they were fun or whatever, but he was all business. So just look for that probably tomorrow as well on the site. But overall, I think they're doing a great job over there with Graziani going for the tip, 5'7.5", going to go against Zach Edey. So question, do you think they're actually going to have this guy do the tip?
They better. I mean, you're... At what point do you realize, okay, we're not going to win the tip over a 7'4" guy anyway, so let's just put our shortest guy out there?
Well, and even, I mean, even if you win the tip, the game is not won at the tip. I mean, it doesn't really mean anything. It's possession. And maybe you can say, you know, get a hot start, I guess, on your first possession. Hit a big three or a dunk or something. But, like, it doesn't make a huge amount of difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do hope they run this guy out there 5'7.5" against Edie. That'll be a lot of fun to see. Just because, like you said, Samford, they kind of know where they're at, and they know what they're getting into with this game. So it should be a fun one, I think.
Absolutely. And I think I can only imagine what the crowd at Mackey Arena would do when this happens, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and this obviously is not going to happen, but imagine if he did go out there and actually won the tip over Zach Edey. I mean, that would just be outrageous, right?
I feel like if I was in the crowd, I'd go even more nuts if the guy won. Like,
right, yeah. You're almost cheering for them.
Right. I mean, people in Mackey know ball, and they can respect an athletic guy who pulls off that milestone.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So Purdue did have one final exhibition. Not a lot you can glean from this one. Against Grace College, 98-51, Purdue won this one last week. And, I mean, 98-51 NAIA Grace College. Granted, a very good NAIA team. I don't know why I can't get that. But still, they're a lower division team. Purdue had no trouble whatsoever. Purdue wound up on a 36-7 run at one point, so you don't get a whole lot from this. This is like what we talked about during football season. You know, when you beat an FCS team, what did you really learn? Not a lot. So that's kind of what I feel about this Grace College victory. Do you see anything different?
Yeah, like we talked about in the last podcast, there's really not much to talk about it. But it's good coming off a win, if nothing else, because if you take only the Arkansas exhibition game, maybe that leaves a somewhat sour taste in your mouth. This leaves all doubt out the door. So it's like a tune-up game for your tune-up games.
Right.
So,
yeah.
There's, like you said, it's an FCS game pretty much. It's equivalent to it. You don't want injuries, and you can help kind of figure out your wants.
Yeah, and Purdue had no injuries in the game. Nothing of concern. So that's always good news coming out of exhibition season.
Can you do a bye game for an exhibition?
I mean, I suppose.
Never really thought about that. Because I would think, you know, I know, like, all the opening games are almost exclusively bye games. But I don't know if, like, exhibition, because Grace College is in Indiana, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I would think you just set up something that's close or mutually beneficial in terms of, like, the Arkansas exhibition. But I don't know. I'm not a schedule maker.
Just yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I assume Samford gets some money to come to West Lafayette, even though it is an exhibition. But it's obviously, it can't possibly be as much. Or Grace probably gets some money to come to West Lafayette, but it can't be the same as a regular season game, I wouldn't.
Probably.
Yeah. So
you get to be our punching bag, so we pay you.
There you go. And the game on Monday is at 6:30 Eastern, so it would be 5:30 for you over in Central Time. So yeah, that would be very tough for you to make that one on time. But game is on BTN on Monday. So before we get into that, I want to look. I've got a couple questions for you about basketball season, and I want to get kind of some just quick opinions from you.
Okay.
All right, Purdue has a pretty difficult non-conference schedule. I mean, we all know some of the names on there. Xavier at home, then they go to the Maui in Honolulu, Maui Gym Invitational, and they're going to play Gonzaga. We know that one for sure. Now, other than that, we don't know who they're going to play, but that field is loaded. It's got Tennessee, Syracuse, Marquette, Kansas. I mean, just absolutely loaded field.
Well,
and then,
they will play either Tennessee or Syracuse,
right? Yes.
In the second round.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But we just,
so
I mean,
somewhat there.
Yeah, we just don't know for sure. And then go into Big Ten season, but then Purdue also plays Alabama across the border in Canada. and
the North,
the Great White North, yes. And we also have the game in Indianapolis against Arizona. So, I mean, the non-conference is absolutely loaded. There's, of course, some cupcakes mixed in there, but that is an incredible non-conference schedule. So, I know we don't know the exact opponents yet with the Maui invitation. However, looking at the big name games that we know, so Arizona, Alabama, Gonzaga, and Xavier. So those four games that we know right now. Mm-hmm. Of those four, and I'll throw in Tennessee, Syracuse, because as you said, we've got it narrowed down to two opponents. Of those five games, how are you looking at Purdue coming out of that? 0-5? 5-0? I mean, what do you think?
I think ideally you want Purdue to be 4-1 out of those games. And because I think that obviously Purdue is going to be ranked ahead of every single one of them. None of those teams are going to be number one, number two. But it's the problem that we somehow did not see last season in the PK50 is they had to string three straight games together. And this is the reason why all of the hype came for Purdue was that they were able to not look sluggish against Gonzaga, Duke, and West Virginia. So I think ideally you say 4-1, and then honestly maybe 4-2 if you get to that championship of the Maui Gym,
right,
against like a Kansas. Now that obviously would be against the number one team in the country. So, you know, it's not a bad loss on a neutral court.
Yeah.
But if Purdue wants to prove that they are really top three caliber, they need to win these games. I know Tennessee, I believe they're top 10 right now. I think they're 8 or 9.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's probably going to be one of the more difficult games if you play them. And it's going to be rough for Maui.
Yeah.
Because that is, like you said, a completely stacked field. But you get Xavier at home. You essentially get a home game for Arizona. You get to go to Zach Edey's home country against Alabama. So, if nothing else, the crowds will help for these games. And I think Purdue can come out 4-1. I would say no worse than 3-2 out of those five. But there's a real shot they go 5-0 in those five.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much right on the head. I think they need to come out at least 3-2, but I do think 4-1 or 5-0 is a possibility. I mean, you look at what they did last year in the non-conference, undefeated, and they had another real tough schedule, as you talked about there in the Phil Knight tournament. So it's a very tough schedule, and especially in Hawaii, it's 3 days in a row. They're playing Monday, November 20th, Tuesday the 21st, and Wednesday the 22nd. They got three games back-to-back-to-back. As I said, we know they play Gonzaga on that Monday, and then they're going to play either Tennessee or Syracuse, depending on who wins, who loses, and then they'll match up. And then the third game, again, it depends on how the tournament goes. We just don't know. We could play anybody, anywhere from Chaminade to Kansas. Who knows? But it's going to be a very rough non-conference, but we should know so much more about this team even, just 2 weeks from now.
Right.
We'll know so much more about what they can do, how resilient they are, and how they match up against some very, very good teams in games where Purdue is prepared. Purdue has been preparing. Purdue has scouted these teams, unlike what they did in that exhibition game against Arkansas, where Painter just said, we didn't prepare for this game. We wanted to see how the team would play. And there's something to that. I mean, we'll see if it works out. But I'm really excited to see what the team can do now that they'll put in that work in the film room. They'll know the tendencies of their opponents, and Purdue will be ready to play.
Absolutely. And it's really the non-conference schedule that in recent years that has really propelled these Purdue teams. I mean, we all know about last year where they went up crazy in the rankings to get into the top five. But there was also, I want to say 2018, where they beat Arizona and Tennessee in back-to-back games in their holiday tournament. And I think Arizona at that point was number two in the country. So it's these non-conference holiday tournaments that actually – it's like when you're sharpening metal. Metal sharpens metal so much better. So it's great to have these tough opponents if you can win. I don't think Purdue's a team that can get buried by their schedule just because Matt Painter is – very good at the opening stages of a season, getting going, and honestly, with how much brought back on this team, I don't see them having too much difficulty with these games just because all five of your starters are back and you're bringing more talent. You didn't lose that much, so if they can take an extra step, they're even better, and they ascended all the way up to number one in the country last year. Like, if you're better than that, high hopes for this year.
Right, right. And I looked up while you were talking to see the last time when Purdue and Arizona faced, and you are right, it was in 2017. So it was the 2017-2018 season, and Purdue walked away with a victory there. And that was, and let's see, that was the Battle for Atlantis.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And so that one actually, it was Purdue lost to Tennessee in a very close game in that one. Yeah, let's see. Battle for Atlantis, yeah, we lost 75-78 in overtime to Tennessee. And then we beat, and then we lost to Western Kentucky the very next day. Lost by four, but then came back and beat Arizona 89-64, and Arizona was ranked number two at the time.
Right. Okay, that's yeah, sparking my memory, because they lost the two, everyone thought the world was ending, and then they beat number two Arizona, just like everyone called it, they would play Arizona.
Right, but it's, yeah, that's right, because everybody thought the two, Purdue and Arizona, would meet in the championship game, and we met in like the sixth place game or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they, I mean, that continued them on, and they, Purdue then took down number 17 Louisville in their next game. And then just kind of started plowing through victory.
Right. Yeah. So these non-conference games can really be a nice springboard, especially into a Big Ten that is never easy.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that leads me into my next question. Purdue, of course, won the Big Ten last year by two games. Does Purdue repeat as the Big Ten regular season conference champion?
I'm going to say yes, but...
I could tell there was a caveat coming. I was like, he's going to go more.
I will leave the option there for them to tie, for to be co-champions with Michigan State.
That still counts as a repeat champion to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, Michigan State also brought back a lot of talent.
Yeah, Michigan State's going to be good.
Yeah, they're projected to be very good as well. I believe Purdue and Michigan State only play once this year, and it is in Mackey.
Correct.
So that may be the one game that carries Purdue over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that could be the game that ultimately decides the conference champion.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think that Purdue got a bad pull for its conference schedule in any way. And if Purdue progresses as we all think they will, it should be a much smoother, not necessarily more or less wins, but smoother. You feel better about the way Purdue's going to play.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. But I do agree with you there. You're not going to get much disagreement, I think, on the basketball front right now. I think Purdue has the best chance of anyone in the conference to win the title, so that would be a back-to-back for Purdue. I think it's going to happen. I'm not really worried so much about what's going to happen in the Big Ten tournament. But it, obviously it would be nice to win that one as well, just back-to-back in both of them. But the last question, well, I take that back. I have two more questions for you. Can you give me one kind of outrageous prediction. Doesn't have to be team-wise. It could be player-wise. But I'd love to hear just one bold prediction from you on this next basketball season.
I don't think I'm going to go with the very easy answer of Zach Edey's going to make a three.
Okay.
Like, I feel like that's a very popular bold prediction, and I'm not going to go with
okay.
it. I will go with Lance Jones gets on the all defense team.
Okay. I'll take that, cuz that would be big for this team. A hard-nosed defender who maybe can generate some steals and some easy buckets. I would love that. I would love that for him. And this team, you know, especially even though the numbers don't show that they've struggled on defense last year, you know, you go back 3 or 4 years and they were getting down there until they turned it around. So it'll be interesting to see if he can go from Missouri Valley Conference all defense team to the Big Ten all defense. That'd be quite a jump for him. Really impressive feat.
Now, I think the caveat with that is that means he breaks into the starting lineup.
Right. Well, I mean, and he was the starter in the two exhibition games.
Right, and he retains that. So I think that's bold enough.
Yeah.
Zesty enough.
I think that's pretty good. Do you want to hear mine?
Of course.
I'm going to be the cliche guy, and my bold prediction is Purdue goes to the Final Four.
Okay.
It's something we've all thought the last few years, ever since Carson Edwards got us within, you know, a tip from a free throw to the Final Four. And the team maybe doesn't have that dynamic guard like Carson, but I do believe that they are such a complete team that they can play together and they can get to that Final Four, and we can all breathe a huge sigh of relief when they get there. I think Zach Edey came back for that very reason. He didn't want to have that last season's loss be his last game at Purdue, and I think we are going to be really damn impressed with the way Zach Edey plays this year, and I hope the rest of the team around him sees his fire, sees his drive, and reaches the level that they need to get him to the Final Four.
Right. Okay. So, have you bought your tickets to Phoenix yet?
No, I have not bought any tickets yet.
Marissa told me to actually do that, because we did that when the Final Four was in New Orleans.
Okay.
So, make sure you plan out your early April.
Yeah, I will. I will. I actually have a couple of people I know live in Arizona, so
okay.
You know, maybe I can swing down there and stay at their house. Save me a couple $1,000 on a hotel, probably.
Yeah, that or, you know, company retreat to Arizona.
Yeah, company retreat. Airbnb. Exactly. So, anything else you want to talk about basketball season before we head to our break and get into football?
I was going to ask, which one of the newcomers do you think is going to have the biggest impact? And when I say newcomers, I'm including Heidi and Bird.
Yeah. Do you include Jones then, I assume?
Yes.
Okay.
The first time they'll be playing.
Yeah. Man, it's hard not to say Lance Jones. Just because Painter's put him already in the starting lineup. He seems to really trust him. And I've really liked what I've seen from him defensively. And it's his length and speed might be something that Purdue doesn't have on defense. I would really like it to be Colvin, just because he's a different player than Purdue has on offense. But right. It's so hard to take that role as a freshman, whereas Jones, you know, is an older player. So I think I'm going to have to give it to Jones. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Jones as well, but part of me is starting to see the role that Camden Heidi is also getting. And as you said, there's not many players like Colvin, but there's also not many players like Heidi. And Heidi is kind of one of those guys I feel like one day we're going to be saying he does everything. He doesn't do one thing like explosively to the point where he's putting up a 20-25 point game, but he'll get a 5x5. You know, that seems like the kind of stats Heidi can get for you, but but you need those guys on your team. You know, you're not going to have 10 people scoring in double figures a night, but if you have a guy who contributes everywhere, that is fantastic.
Right.
It could be Heinie, but I think it's more possible to be Jones.
I get that. I think it makes sense. So there we go, folks. We're looking ahead. We're excited about basketball season starting on Monday the 6th against Samford. We're going to take a break, come back, look at what is going on over on the football side.
Ooh.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we are back. So Purdue football heads into Ann Arbor. They lose 41-13, and the offense continues to look very, very bad. Trouble on the offensive line, people shuffling around the whole game. You never know where anybody's going to play. Purdue did score 13 points, 7 of them on a garbage touchdown at the end with just a few seconds left, but that still remains the most points that Michigan has allowed in a game. So, you know, I guess there's something there, but... Mm-hmm. 41-13. Purdue did cover the spread, for those that were wondering. But man, that offense just does not look good. They can't put anything together. No wide receivers are really standing out. Purdue couldn't get anything going. Ryan, what are your thoughts about this game, just in general? I have a question that I want to ask after I get your thoughts.
Well, my first thoughts of this game were, it's not gonna count. Just, you know, 3 years down the line, this game will be wiped off for a scandal from Michigan.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't get it counted as a win if that happens.
Yeah, but hey, you know, we're still going to claim Big Ten champions from 2022. I mean, we're going to do it. So might as well call this one a win, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah. The offense remains, it's hard to put in words what the offense is doing.
They're stagnant is what they're doing. Phase.
Yeah. I mean, they put up over 250 yards of offense, which is better than previous weeks, against a very good Michigan defense. There's no two ways around it. But it's just every week they seem woefully outmatched on offense, and it starts at quarterback. I know Hudson Card does not have the deepest receiving core in the Big Ten. We understand that, but it comes down to the decision making of Hudson Card, where it's nothing seems right.
Yeah.
It always seems to be a check down to someone who gets absolutely blown up at the line of scrimmage, or it's a slant. It feels like nothing over 5 yards can be completed by Hudson Card.
Yeah.
12 of 28 is not good.
No. And it seems like we're throwing horizontally so often instead of vertically. I mean, he's throwing halfway across the field for like a 2 yard gain, or halfway across the field and gets blown up for a loss. I mean, I don't understand the play design. I don't understand the play calling. And Hudson Card needs to make faster decisions. That's partly a result of the offensive line being in shambles, but, you know, part of the reason he's getting, flushed out of the pocket and struggles to find open receivers is because he finds himself on the run because he's not making those choices fast. And it's a chicken or egg thing. It's like, is he always on the run because of the bad offensive line, or is he always on the run because he's not seeing his reads quick enough, and then he has to bail, which, you know, you bail, it makes everything harder. You're looking downfield, you're trying not to get hit, you're deciding if you want to run. I mean, there's a lot going on in the head of a quarterback, but he doesn't seem to be doing himself any favors, even with that bad offensive line in front of him.
Yeah, and it's difficult. It's a compounded issue with all of the different things going wrong. And it honestly feels like the Purdue receiving core is made up almost entirely of slot receivers. It always seems like, you know, the best route for a Purdue receiver is a slant. And honestly, that's what Hudson Card is good at throwing, but you have to live outside of the hash mark. So it comes down to, is this really what Ryan Walters and Graham Harrell alluded to was, hey, we have a system that's going to work, but we just need the talent behind that, and it's just not here yet. You know, is it coming, or is it a broken system? Right now, I can tell you Purdue fans are not very happy with Mr. Harrell and his offense.
Nor should they be.
Right. And it's a waiting game, unfortunately, where you don't know which is the propelling factor to this. You just see wins and losses.
Right.
And Purdue at 2-7 now is all but guaranteed, unless something academics-wise comes down,
right, yeah,
to miss a bowl game. But we discussed this a few episodes ago. We don't know if Purdue will win another game this season.
Yeah.
You know, it's very possible they go 0-3 and end up 2-10.
Man, that
doesn't
would hurt.
Help your recruiting at all.
No.
So you need to figure something out so that this does not have a snowball effect. Now, I know the recruiting class for next season is very well under Ryan Walters. He's done a very good job at recruiting so far in his tenure. But it's like you have to consistently do this to build a stable program, and year one is just as important as year four.
Yeah, it's so tough. It's tough.
I still have faith that Ryan Walters can do it. I mean, he's a very personal coach. He absolutely is on his player's side, and it's fantastic when you hear a coach say, well, I hate Nebraska, or, you know, I don't think many coaches would have just straight up said, hey, Michigan cheated.
Yeah.
So I admire that about Ryan Walters, just being so upfront, and I think players do as well. But something has to be fixed this year to build some more foundation for incoming years.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't envy the coaches, because I don't know what I would do, especially given the state of injuries. I mean, what tight ends does this team have? Garrett Miller is in and out every week, seems like. Pafferi's hurt. Claire is now a new guy. He's hurt. Like, Who do you even have? And I don't know what kind of game plan you can make. If nothing else, Purdue will not play Michigan or Ohio State again. That's a plus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so just focusing on the offense, Purdue scored just 13 points in this game, and it is now 4 weeks in a row where the team has not scored 14 points. 4 weeks in a row. This is from Jed's game rap on hammerandrails.com. First time they've failed to score more than 14 points in four consecutive games since 2013, where they scored just 21 points over four games. Seven against Nebraska, shutouts against Michigan State and Ohio State, and then 14 against Iowa. So, I mean, the offense just cannot do anything. We finally had made our first field goal in six attempts, and then we decided to go two in a row. So we got two field goals in this game and a touchdown, but other than that, just absolutely nothing cooking. So I told you before we started recording, I had a question for you, and it goes back to what you were saying there about Ryan Walters, and I'm curious to hear your opinion. When Jeff Brohm left, he took a lot of players with him, and a lot of players left, you know, as a result, whether that be because they wanted to play for Jeff Brohm, or because they didn't want to go through a coaching change, or, you know, whatever that may be. We lost a lot of guys who could be making a difference on this team. If Jeff Brohm had stayed, do you think the team would be better this year?
Oh, absolutely. Comparatively, yes. I mean, I absolutely do not think they'd be sitting at 2-7 right now.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I think they would be better, but I question if Brohm could do it long term, because we see the holes on this roster now after, you know, you lose your good guys to the draft and you get a few guys taken away via transfer portal, and Brohm took his guys with him to Louisville, and you begin to question, like, was this all a house of cards built specifically for last year? Because the recruiting really fell off. There's no linemen on the offensive side to speak of. The wide receiver room is just bare bones. Thank goodness Devin Mockaby turned out to be, you know, good, minus the fumbling that we saw again against Michigan. But, you know, Tyrone Tracy, you bring him in, have to switch him from wide receiver to running back. I mean, what is going on with this roster that Jeff Brohm built? It's not exactly covering itself in glory, which I think speaks to what Jeff Brohm had kind of been doing the last couple years here at Purdue.
Yeah, and, you know, so kind of to build on that, what happens in a couple years with Louisville? I mean, let's be honest here. Jeff Brohm was gifted a pretty good roster and kind of had, I want to say, the combination of two half rosters, half Purdue, half Louisville, and kind of meshed the best parts of both of those teams into a team that's, you know, they're ranked, they're doing pretty well. But what happens in 2 years when Jeff Brohm has to do the same thing he was doing at Purdue, and it comes down to recruiting, that can fall off. So I don't know. I can't tell the future, unfortunately. But I don't think Louisville will be in the same position they are in 2 years.
Yeah, that I don't being think so said, either.
I can't say that Purdue's going to dig itself out of this hole very quickly. We hope so. We hope that Ryan Walters is the guy to do that. But it's always going to be an uphill battle. And let's be honest, Purdue is not a traditional football power anymore. You do not have the kind of assets and funding, well, I shouldn't say funding, but assets and fan base and NIL deals.
Yeah, that just a cachet of name. You know, name means so much in college football.
Right. You don't have the brand, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Purdue does not have the brand power as these other schools. But that being said, you're one of two premier football colleges in the state of Indiana. And honestly, compared to the rest of the bordering states, you know, Illinois and Kentucky, you have a fighting chance. Once you go to Michigan and Ohio, that's where you'll.
Yeah.
But you can recruit a large area, and Indiana gets some pretty good football recruits. So Indianapolis is where Ryan Walters said he wants to focus on in the early going. He said so in his opening presser. So you can get these recruits. You can have it to where you have a competing team in probably one of two of the super conferences, and you go from there. But as I said, it's an uphill battle, and you have to have the correct coach with the correct mindset to do so.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So, I mean, I don't want to dwell too much on this Michigan game. It was tough to watch. The defense did a lot of good, but, you know, they had a 5 or 6 minute span here and a 5 or 6 minute span there where they just couldn't get stops. And ultimately that's where, you know, Michigan put their points on the board. But the defensive line continues to play great. Scorton and Jenkins continue to be the stars of this team. And I mean, we can at least build on that because we hope those guys are going to be with Purdue for a few more years now. So that is the hope that we build on.
Yeah. And, the one thing I kind of didn't mention, Ryan Walters is a defensive coach. Like, I'm not saying you should be allowed to completely disregard the offense when this comes, but we kind of knew this was coming, right? Where you're focused on defense more so, or you're less focused on offense because you're more focused on defense. It's not excusable, but let's be honest. There are coaches like that. Kirk Ferentz is one to name.
Right.
So it happens. It's just that's a really difficult way to win football games.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not always fun. It's not always fun to watch.
Right. And you have to have the talent behind you to do it. So I just would like to say I'm rooting for Michigan to win every single game this year just to have it ripped away from them.
Ah.
I would like them to become the national champions and have it just torn down.
Hey, there's nothing like spite to root against the team. And it would almost be the best of both worlds for Purdue because, you know, the Big Ten shares the money that comes in from all these college football playoff games. So the further Michigan goes, ultimately the more money Purdue gets. So Purdue would get the money from a team going to the college football playoff. And then get to see it ripped away from Michigan, you know, in 2 years' time or whatever, whenever the NCAA finishes their investigation.
Whenever Harbaugh's an NFL coach.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, like I said, I don't want to focus too much on this Michigan loss. There was some good things, you know, we were able to kick some field goals, and the defensive line looked good once again, but, you know, they've got to turn it around. Luckily, we returned home to Ross-Ade next week when we take on Minnesota at 3:30. I will be in attendance at that game, so I'm really hoping to see a Purdue victory. I have the Ryan Walters gold sweatshirt waiting for me in West Lafayette, and I'm hopefully going to try to find some of that Purdue ice cream. So I got a lot of stuff to do when I'm back at Purdue.
You'll be at the basketball game too, right?
I will be at the basketball game. I purchased tickets today to Moorhead State, so really looking forward to going to that on Friday. Football on Saturday, and then we're looking into getting volleyball tickets for Sunday as well.
Okay. No, well, there's one other question. What you got going on Thursday night?
Oh, I'm going to the Neon Cactus to say goodbye to longtime Boilermaker icon Bruce Barker.
Yes, as will I. I will be there as well.
That's what I heard. So there you go. Ryan and I we're gonna be at the Cactus on Thursday. So you know if you're there. Give us a shout out. Maybe run into us. Maybe we'll buy you a drink.
Well, or buy us a drink.
Hey, you know I make big adult money now, so I'll buy a fan a drink.
Okay, fair enough.
You're the young guy just getting his career started. So maybe I'll buy you a drink. There we go. So for Ryan and myself, folks, thanks for listening. Boiler up.